Good morning, church.
Good morning, Pastor.
Especially when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the church needs to be alive and well. We, you know, remember that church is not quantity, it's quality. And we are blessed with quality. And
amen.
Oh, that was supposed to be the strongest amen ever, because I'm talking about you. Amen. It is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing that is another Sabbath. It's a blessing to be among the living, kicking me still. You know, those that are not able to, because they are at home at this moment, we like to welcome them as well, because we do have here, I can see a few brothers and sisters that are joining in and serving with. That's why we have the phone right here, so that they can hear us and participate with us. We are very blessed. As the week went by, now the heat is coming, and we need to get ready, because I believe there will be a very warm summer. And either way, one day that passes is that we're getting close to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will take us home.
Amen.
And so let's, with that hope, worship together. God is His Spirit. This was Jesus talking. Talking to whom? He was talking to, at that moment, of course, today with us, but back then with a Samaritan woman. She was asking, where do we worship? What church is the right one? You know, today's language. Should we go to Jerusalem every time we have to worship because there is a very fancy church there? That's a lot of people go there. Or should we stay here in Samaria and worship here? Now, at that time, the Samaritans, they were discriminated because they were kind of mixed people. They were no longer a pure Jewish people. And they also decided to have the same way they mixed their blood, you know, heritage, they mixed their religion out as well. So they have a pagan god from everywhere. They still worship God, but they still have a compromise. And today is not any different. We see so many churches today, they claim to worship God, and yet they have so extra stuff that they brought in. It's trying almost to push God out. And so we're going to be talking about the Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus says, God is the Spirit. Which God He was talking about? Every time we read this, I don't know about you, but it happened to me, probably happened to everyone. Every time we hear God is His Spirit, we talk about the Father, the one that we call the Father, isn't it? Is that we assume? Now, basically, when Jesus Christ, God is His Spirit, He was talking about the triune God. Remember, Jesus Christ, before He came and took humanity, became a human like us, He was His Spirit in heaven as well. So that's the nature of divinity, is His spiritual. Okay, so as they worship Him, we must worship Him. And the hymn here is making personal. It's talking about the triune God. It's not talking about one particular person. Of course, Abba is what we say, Happy Sabbath Day, Abba's Day. Abba is all three of them. You know, Abba is not one or the other. Abba is all three of them. And you can study your Bible very carefully. And you see references of every one of them being called Abba, Father. Now, today's message, the Spirit. Why did I title the Spirit? Because last week we titled the Spirits, because we need to discern, because there are a lot of spirits out there. There are good ones, and there are some unclean ones. And there are people that are worshiping and jumping and everything else, claiming that they are being full of the Holy Spirit, but I don't know what kind of spirit they have, because according to the Bible, if you speak with the Spirit, you cannot contradict the teachings of the Bible. You cannot claim to be with the Holy Spirit and yet work against what the Holy Spirit teaches. So it's very important for us to know that this Spirit that we will talk about today is the Spirit of God. The one we call the Holy Spirit. And why we call it, why we use the adjective holy? Why don't we just call the Spirit? is because there are a lot of unholy ones out there. So in order to distinguish, we have to use the word holy so we know which one we are talking about. The Holy Spirit. We are not created as robots. Each one of us has received a wonderful gift called reasoning. We got a brain. And because we have this brain, we are accountable for every decision we make. We receive blessings, and we can receive consequences as well. And that's a part of being able to choose. A choice is very important. God promised to guide us through the Holy Spirit. It's a given to guide us, but not to make our decisions for us. We're still responsible for every decision we make. I have seen sometimes as a pastor, young people that they are well-intentioned. You know, they have the right thought behind what they are saying, but they say, oh, I'm going to pray for this, and if God is willing, I will do it. And sometimes they work so hard to believe something, and they work for it, and then when it doesn't work, says, oh, I think God didn't want that. So please be careful when you ask something for God. Go with God before God with a Holy Spirit, with confidence. If you ask anything according to His will, there is a promise that says He will do it. So we need to approach God with confidence. God is His Spirit. Yes, He is His Spirit. Everyone who worships Him must worship Him. How? Many people skip the truth. They said we must worship Him in spirit, and they become very spiritual. But we cannot, it's not possible for us to worship God without the truth. If you abandon the truth, God cannot be part of your worship. Not because He will turn His back to you, but because you will turn your back to Him. Now, holiness. Sometimes we are very sensitive with the word holiness. We believe that holiness are only few people that are entitled to be called holy or saint, because the word saint, holy, is the same thing. Do you feel comfortable if somebody approach you and call you a saint? How many of you will feel comfortable if you call a saint? One. Welcome, Saint Denny. And then he knows why he answered yes. We don't call ourselves saints, but God calls us saints. Do you know what the word saint means? You are claimed by God as His property. And God does not keep junk. Did you hear what I said? God does not collect junk. That's why He calls you saint, because you are His property. As we approach the last days, we need to get used to that terminology, because when people, the enemy, will persecute us, they will persecute us because of holiness, not because of anything else. It is holiness that will get us in trouble. It is holiness that got everybody else that had been persecuted in the past. It is holiness. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's when you start producing the evidence the Holy Spirit is in you, that the world of darkness will become very unhappy. So remember, next time somebody calls you a saint, says, by God's grace, I'm a privilege to be His property. Answer like that, so that you don't claim any merit for of your own works, but give credit to His grace, because by His grace, you are a very valuable piece of property. You are holy ground. Let's continue. You see why. I hope by the end of this message, you will feel comfortable to be qualified as a saint. Because, you know, there is other option. Or either you are a clean spirit, or you are something else. We can, is either one. We cannot stay in the middle of the road and say, okay, I cannot call myself saint, but I'm not. It's not time for us to. The Holy Spirit. There is 7 P's that I would like to present today. The personality of the Holy Spirit. The second is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The third is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. the prominence of the Holy Spirit, and the production of the Holy Spirit, and of course, the prayer in the Holy Spirit. So, let's continue. First, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Acts 5, verse 3 and 4. By the way, there are so many Bible verses. We could stay hours here, but don't worry about it. We're not, because there are enough evidence in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay? Here's one. He is God. Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan, the evil spirit, the unclean spirit, has filled your heart that you have lied? To whom? To the Holy Spirit. You don't lie to a force. You don't lie to a fruit of your imagination. You lie to a person. So he lied. He lied to the Holy Spirit. And have kept for yourself some of the money you receive for the land. I'm not going to go there, but please, if you have a trouble, return to God what belongs to God. Pay attention to this, please. Didn't it belong to you? Everything was yours before it was sold. And the way we have, even after you were sold, it was still yours. Anytime you had a need, you just had to come to the church, and the church was going to help you. So everything was yours anyway. And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? I know, the unclean spirit. You have not lied just to human beings. You have lied to God. So Peter makes a distinction that he is not only a person, but he is God. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. To God you have lied. The promise of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verses 7 to 14. Jesus Christ says that he was going to send someone to continue the work that he started. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Actually, there is a purpose why I'm leaving. Because the work continues and somebody is ready to come to continue this work. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. Therefore, there is a greater blessing. As I leave you, you feel hurt. But as I leave you, find out that someone as great as I am will be here to continue the work. But if I go, I will send him, again the word him, to you. And then continues, when he comes, and he came, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Three things about sin, righteousness, and judgment, the consequences. And continue, about sin. Why would the Holy Spirit convince us about sin? Because people do not believe in me. That's Jesus Christ speaking. About righteousness. Why? Because I am going to the Father. And when you can see me no longer, and then what happened? But when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, again, the Spirit of truth, you must worship God in spirit and truth, the Spirit of truth. By the way, John, always when he talks about truth, he is thinking about Jesus Christ. You can find that in First John. In John, he always used truth as a symbol of Jesus Christ. And then it comes, he will guide you to all the truth. Not 9, not 90%, but the whole truth. And by the way, when you claim to have the truth, but you don't agree only with one point, do you still have the truth? No, you don't. Truth is only truth if it's complete. He will not speak on his own. In other words, the Holy Spirit has not come here. Many people today, some Christians today, they claim, I don't know if you have heard this before, they claim that Jesus Christ came and change what the Father has established. You know, the Father has established one thing, and he says, oh, Jesus Christ came in and he changed. Now there are people that talk to say that the Holy Spirit came and changed what Jesus taught. But according to Scripture, it says, now the Holy Spirit is coming to share with you my teachings. And Jesus Christ said about his teachings, says, my Father and I are one. The same things that I teach is the same thing of the Father. In other words, there is unity in the divinity. Everything is of the divinity, not of one in particular. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. That is talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me. So what is the word glorify means? Not only that, but he will reveal who I am. Well, Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. He came to show us the Father, to reveal the Father. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to confirm the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's one after the other, they all in unity. He says, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And continues. When the Holy Spirit speaks. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And I'm not talking about strange noises. Because some people, sometimes they get a little confused. And they start hearing things and they think that that's the Holy Spirit talking to them. Sometimes their ego is so big and so loud that they end up hearing themselves many times. Now, we're not talking about that kind of hearing. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me? How do we know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? First of all, every time the Holy Spirit speaks, it has to be 100% in harmony with what Jesus was teaching. And every time you listen to what Jesus was teaching, has to be 100% in harmony with what the Father taught. And that's the point that the Bible is making. There is no difference of the Holy Spirit teachings and Jesus' teachings. That's why he says, he will glorify me. That's the text that says, he will glorify me. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit as he comes. And when we listen to the Holy Spirit, we also glorify Jesus Christ. We glorify the Father. Third, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember we talk about holiness? What it means to be holy? What it means to be holy? Righteous. If you have the fruits of holiness, how can you say somebody is holy? If you have God in you. And God is holy, he says, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Romans 8, verse 8 to 11 says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But, what happens if we are not? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Meaning, we are being, the Holy Spirit is in us. It's not the flesh who speaks. Because the works of the flesh cannot give us salvation. Salvation is by grace, not by our own merits. But what happens when somebody really loves God? The works will be present. It's evident. If indeed the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, dwells in you, and here's the dwells in you. When they had the sanctuary in the desert, when they had the Shekinah, how many people were allowed to go in to see the glory of God? How many? Only a chosen high priest was allowed there. Why? Because they were not allowed to be in the presence of God because they were not holy. Even this high priest, he had to go through a whole process of sanctification before he was going there. Even when they went, they had some little bells on their clothing. And everybody outside could hear the priest as he walked. And he walked very calmly so the people could hear the bells. And as he got it, and when he left, even though they could not see, but they could imagine, but the sound of the bell. And when he got out, he walked faster to give a sign to everyone, I'm alive. I have been in the presence of the Most Holy, and I'm alive. God's grace has been sufficient for me. And the people, who the whole camp of Israel, thousands of people who yell and shout, that was their celebration, because God has accepted us. Dwell in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Holy Spirit of Christ, what happens? He is not his. So, in other words, a person who does not live according to the Spirit cannot truly say, I am a Christian. Can the person say? A lot of persons say, I am a Christian, and yet they do not live according to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. In verse 10 it says, and if Christ is in you, if he is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Everybody knows that the breath that we have in the Bible is called, sometimes they call it Spirit, but the correct translation will be the breath. Okay? In this case here, they say this, when the Spirit is in us, we have life, meaning we have the breath of life in us. We have life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, what happened? He will raise Christ. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to you, to your mortal bodies, through His Spirit who dwells in you. And the word dwells in you here is what makes us holy. Do you remember what happened in the desert when Moses came close to the burning bush? What did the Spirit told him? Take off your sandals. Why? The place where I am is holy. And so, now can you understand why I was saying to you, calling you saints? Because if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore you are His. You should know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you. You receive this Holy Spirit as a gift from God, so you not belong to yourselves. A price, the Bible continues saying, because you were bought by God for a price. It's like God created us, and God says, I'm going to buy them back. I created them, but I lost them. Now I have to rescue them. I have to pay them. I have to buy them back. Just like the terminology of somebody who, there was this slave, there was somebody bought this slave, paid a very high price for the slave. This is a true story. And then after he bought the slave, he says, you can go, you're free. And he says, but why would you pay such a price for me and let me go? He says, you're free. I bought you to give you freedom. And the guy says, I will serve you for the rest of my life. For that gesture alone. And that's exactly what happens here. It's when Christ has bought us as a gratitude for this wonderful love, we surrender our lives back to Him. We serve Him. So honor God with your bodies. I will say honor your God with everything. Like in 1 Corinthians 10:31, with everything, as you eat, as you drink, whatever you do, praise God, honor God with it. Because you were bought by God for a price. Yes, a price, a very high price. Fourth, the power of the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It says here, and you shall be a witness. Why would the Holy Spirit come to us? So that He can speak through us to others. You can go to Jerusalem, you can go to Judea, Samaria, and the part that most disciples in the beginning, they missed. You know, they went to Samaria, they went to Jerusalem, but they forgot about the last part. You have to go to the whole world. It took them a while before it came persecution, and when the persecution came in Jerusalem, that's when they left. And that's when the gospel came, and that, thank God, that's why we are here today. In Romans 15, verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And by the way, brothers and sisters, when you believe the truth, there is joy and peace. You know, there's nothing else more rewarding than to know the truth. There's bring peace of believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I had a classmates, they were Pentecostals, and sometimes we decided to talk about the Bible, and oh, they worked so hard to try to find an answer in the Bible to cover up their teaching. And they moved one way or the other, and they couldn't find. And I told them, so it's so easy. Why don't you just follow what the Bible teaches, and you don't have to work so hard to try to find an excuse why you don't find there. The truth is very simple, is there, clear. For all who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God. See, Sister Nanyu? It says that all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God.
Amen.
And as we sing together, as we worship together, we do because we are the children of the Most Holy One. Prominence of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, God is Spirit makes us sure that we're His children. We become children because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what makes us children of God. His Spirit lets us know that together with Christ, we will be given what God has promised. And what has He promised to us? He will also share in the glory of Christ because we have suffered with Him. We will be like Him. We will share His glory. Number six, for this light within you, it means if the Holy Spirit is in us, we have to shine. I sing with my granddaughter, you know, she doesn't mind my tune. At least she hasn't complained yet with this little light of mine. And, you know, all the children know this song, this little light of mine. Brothers and sisters, if there is a time for us to shine, this is the time that we need. The darker the world becomes, the greater opportunity for us to shine.
Amen.
Some of us are too concerned about compromising. Be careful, brothers and sisters. If there is one thing that can destroy the light in you, is the word compromising. Compromising is a button that should not exist in any Christian. Don't allow that option in your vocabulary. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. We are here in this world to know what pleases the Lord. And when we do what pleases the Lord, believe me, the Lord pleases us with eternal life, the gift of eternal life. Take no part on the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Don't get yourself messed up with worthless deeds of darkness. All garbage will be burned. Don't turn yourself or your life into a situation when you'll be refused. You'll be not good enough to be rescued. God wants you to be light. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to expose the works of darkness. And how do we expose them? By being light. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives. First, of course, it doesn't mention there, but light. Remember the 10 virgins? You know the difference between 5 and 5? I'll say, oh, because one of the 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. No, the difference between them was the Spirit. The amount of the Spirit that they have is the oil that made the difference. They were a part of the same church. They all have a carry a Bible together. You know, they have Bible. They worship. It, what made the difference was the amount of the Holy Spirit, the commitment to have the Holy Spirit with them at all time. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. First is love, because love is above everything. Joy, of course, if you have love, joy comes. And then comes peace. And then patience. And then kindness. And then goodness. And then faithfulness. If you want to count, there are nine. There's two more here. Gentleness and self-control. When Paul talks about the last days, they said the young people will lose their self-control. I don't think the only the young people are going to lose. I have seen people with very gray hair or no hair acting like they don't have no self-control. Oh, they like control, but they like control everybody else. They don't control their tongue. They don't control their budget. They don't control the spending of the country. They don't control anything. And our streets, our laws, there's everything. Brothers and sisters, if there is one thing that is a sign of the last days, is the lack of control that we have in our society today. Morally speaking, we are corrupt as it can be. I believe that if Noah would show up, he would say, are we on? Because it says it is just like the same place, the same way. And Jesus said, as we're in the days of Noah, is going to be. So don't be surprised, we're getting there. And very fast. Today in the lesson, we talk about this tower. That tower was a sign of defiance. Was a sign that the human beings were telling God, I don't need you. I can work my own protection. I can buy a life insurance. I can buy this. I can borrow this. I don't need you. I don't need to listen to you. They forgot about the rainbow. That was God's promise. And every single time there will be a little bit of light and a little bit of water, the rainbow will be there to remind you of my promise. How quick they were to forget. And today, you see on television, you see everywhere, the rainbow. The rainbow is back. And you know why they are using the rainbow now, right? As a sign of defiance. As a sign says, don't matter what, you won't be able to destroy me. The defiance is still there. The arrogance is the same thing that Jesus Christ said, as in the days of Noah, it's going to be at the end. All the arrogance is all back. And they are back, and they are strong. And they are committed. One thing you can say about evil, they are determined. I believe if the sons and daughters of light would have that same kind of a commitment, we'll be in heaven right now. We would have finished the work. Yes, the sons of darkness sometimes are working much harder than the sons of light, and we need to change that. There is no law against goodness. There's no law against when we reflect. And finally, brothers and sisters, the prayer in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to ask how many of you spend at least 5 minutes a day praying. I'm not going to ask you how many of you spend at least 10 seconds a day praying. I will not ask you how many of you even bother to pray at all. But I know that the Holy Spirit will be talking to you. Amen. I know He will be talking to you, and He will be knocking. And I hope you do listen and open the door. Never stop praying, brothers and sisters. If there is a time that we need to pray, is now. I pray for you every single day, many times a day. And I'm not saying this to glorify or get your sympathy or anything else. I'm saying this to you because I want you to be at 3 o'clock in the right side of the tree of life. Amen. I need to see you there.
Amen.
I do. And I pray every day for that miracle to happen. Yes, we should have prayed, especially for others. Sometimes people read the book of Job. How many of you have read the book of Job? A few of you. Those of you who have not, you got a homework to do this afternoon. Start reading. You can say, but Pastor, that is so difficult book to read. It is if you are approaching the wrong way, but if you seek God in the book of Job, you'll find something wonderful about God there. Now, what happened to Job? Two chapters saying the evil spirit afflicted him. 40 chapters, three members of the church came and gave a hard time to Job. Can you imagine people from the church coming, instead of coming to comfort him, gave him a hard time? Yeah, you're a bad guy. That's why those things happen to you. All this story ends this way. Job suffered a lot. And the question was, why? Why is this happening? Every one of you will suffer. And some of you are suffering. But don't give up. Because suffering is common to all of us. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to suffer beyond your strength. He applied that to Job. And when Job finally came to realization who God really was, he said, before I knew you only by hearing. You know, like I went to church and I heard about you. But now I can see you. Now I know who you are. And then after he said that now I know who God is, he decided that no longer Job was important. And brothers and sisters, the moment the Holy Spirit started working on you, and you forget about yourself, and you start thinking about others, that's when miracles is going to start happening. That's when you will be stronger in your faith. That's when you really will feel like a saint. That's when holiness will take over your life. And then there will be love. Then there will be joy. Then there will be peace, gentleness, self-control. All those beautiful fruits of the Holy Spirit will be manifested. And then the light that is in you will shine. And if people will look around and look at you and says, wow, what are you eating? I want some of the stuff that you have because you shine. Not because you bought some expensive lotion and put all that stuff on you, but because the Holy Spirit inside of you make you shine, make you younger. Amen. And you are a candidate for eternity. Always pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. And finishing about the Job, he said, when Job prayed for his friends, because the devil had their names already. Do you know that? If you read the book, you see the devil already had those nasty friends that Job had. He had them on target. And the devil said, okay, I'm done with Job here. Let me go now. Next project. And Job, God said, pray for them. Job prayed. He became from a person who was in anguish, suffering, and he became a mediator. He became a preacher. He became somebody, an instrument of grace for others. He forgot about his pain, his problems, and he started thinking about somebody else. And the Bible says, then God changed everything in his life. And everything that Satan took away, God gave back twice as much. Why don't you believe that this is going to happen to you? I'm not talking about Job, I'm talking about you. I just use Job, the word Job, just to distract you a little bit. But actually, I'm talking about you. Do you want miracles in your life? Do you want something great to happen in your life? Turn your eyes away from you. And by grace and compassion, work on the redemption of others. Use the Holy Spirit in you. Stay alert. Keep praying for God's people. For God's people everywhere. In Ukraine, in South America, in Mexico, in Croatia or Russia, yes. And there is a moment right now that we, because the invasion of Ukraine, many people having kind of a not good feeling towards the Russian people. Remember, the same thing happened to the German people. They saw persecution when the big nut was there trying to create problems in their country, and Germans everywhere were persecuted, people hate them because of their government. Let's not make the same mistake again. You know, Russians, there are a lot of Russians that are God-fearing people, that are good people, that has nothing to do with the ambition that their government had. So please evaluate people as individuals, not as a group, because a lot of injustice has happened in the past when we try to discriminate people because of a group. Analyze, respect, love, embrace each individual as your mission for compassion. Dear friends, keep building on the foundation of your most holy faith as the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. What a beautiful counsel. And keep in step with God's love as you wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come to show how kind He is by giving you eternal life. Amen. Yes, He has a gift for you. It will be the most celebrated Christmas ever, because that package that He has reserved for you called eternal life is going to be delivered to you with your name stamped to that gift. That day is coming. And I hope that you will say, oh, what a blessed, how blessed I am. Blessed assurance, this is mine. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord pour His Holy Spirit upon you. And folks,